This message is brought to you by Croydon Tabernacle, a part of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Our mission is reconciling the individual, community, and the nation to God. Be blessed as you listen.
Thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. Thank you because there's no life that encounters you that ever remains the same. And Father God, even as we come before you this morning, we ask, Father God, that you will grant us that specific encounter that will change our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father, because we know you are here and we know that you are here to meet with us. Lord, may our hearts be open to you this morning, that your word will find fertile ground in our hearts, and by your power, our lives will bear fruit, much fruit, more fruit, in the name of Jesus. Lord, this morning we ask that you will speak as only you can. Let there be no self-glory or self-promotion, but let only your name and your name alone be glorified. That at the end of this service, may we know of a truth that you have met with us and we have met with you. Thank you, mighty Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. I would just like to thank God and the leadership of the church for this opportunity to stand before God's people again this morning. And my prayer is that God would meet with us. There's something powerful about an encounter in the sense that it changes your perspective, changes your entire life. It gives you new priorities and new pursuits. And that's something that I think all of us must crave from God. At some point in time in our lives, we must have that specific thing that brings a change to our lives. And we'll look at the background to Ephesians chapter 1, which is our focus. It's the whole chapter, actually, but I'm not sure we have time to look at the whole chapter. We'll look at the person who wrote that book, Paul himself. We'll look at the audience that he wrote that letter to, and then we'll try and bring it to ourselves as Christians today, as people today. And then we'll conclude with whatever it is that I believe God wants from us as a response to his word. Now, one very funny thing I did, well, as usual, was to check the definition of an encounter. What does the word encounter mean? Now, the Cambridge Dictionary says, to experience a situation, especially something that is unexpected or unpleasant, or to meet someone unexpectedly, or to experience something unpleasant. So it appears to me that the word's perspective of an encounter has no positive connotation. That's what it looks out to me. The moment I put the word Bible in front of the word encounter, you know what I discovered? It changed to run into. There's a difference between the first definition and the one that the Bible gives us. That means that at some point in time in your life, you must run into God. If you've ever been in church all your life, you know how to do church. You can quote the Bible. You know, it's sometimes that people that when they go to situations and you want to talk to them, it's very difficult to know what to say because as you are raising the Bible passage, they're telling you what it means. So it's very difficult to encourage some people because they already know what you're going to say. But at some point in time in our lives, there has to be a running into God. Now, let's bring it on. The person who wrote the letter to the church in Ephesus was a man like you and I. He was fervent. He was a devout Jew. He was committed to his faith, even without understanding. The first time we heard about Saul was when Stephen was being stoned to death. So that means that young man was active somewhere, even if he was in the wrong place. But at least he was busy somewhere. That, for me, is the first point of call. For you and I, am I content just sitting down, folding my arms and watching? I can criticize everything from the person who starts the service to the person who gives the grace. But I'm not committed to anything. That, for me, is the first point of call for you and I. Am I committed to something? This young man had so much zeal. So much zeal, even though he was without knowledge. But at least he was found somewhere, busy at something. And as usual, he set out on a journey to go to Damascus to go and arrest people that belong to the faith. And there he met his own encounter. And so for you and I also, let's bring it home. Have I placed myself in a place where God can reach me? Am I in a place where God can reach me? One thing I'll quickly say is, please, if you are steeped in iniquity, it's not likely that God can reach you there. If you have come to a knowledge of the truth, but you still prefer to dwell in iniquity, God, I'm sorry to say, God cannot reach you there. His mercy is everlasting. He wants to draw you out of sin, but he will not keep you in there. That is one big lesson that I think you and I have to learn this morning. God cannot condone iniquity. And so Saul met Christ. He had an encounter with Christ, and his life changed. How is it possible that a man who never got married has become the authority on marriage? That could only have been possible by an encounter. That when I stand and I speak, it's not so much because I have experience in that matter, but because I have got the inspiration of the God of all knowledge who is backing me up. So too many times we have elevated our education, our qualifications, our elocution, our earnings, our bank account balances, our circle of influence, our connections. These are the things that we so much talk about. But we forget that in the hands of God, all those things are useless. What matters critically is that encounter with God Almighty. And no wonder Paul became so effective simply because he had met with God at some point in time in his life. Practically more than half of the New Testament are attributed to Saul or to Paul simply because of that one encounter. If my life would make impact, if I'm going to change my generation, it starts with that encounter. I remember a young man, I can't remember his name. Is it Obina? One Obina guy who found himself in the Forbes list of top 500 millionaires, if you remember. And then fast forward some years after, what happened to him? It turned out that he was found to be a fraudster. Now he's in prison in the US. That tells me that being on the Forbes list is not the end of your life. Not being on it too doesn't define who you are. What matters critically is an encounter with the God who calls you and I to himself. Now, that is the writer of the book. Let's talk about the audience itself. Paul wrote that letter to the Ephesian church. The first time you hear about the Ephesian church was when Paul went visiting. Now, when Paul got into Ephesus for the first time, the Bible says he found there were 12 people, only 12 people. And he was asking them, have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? And they were like, what does that even mean? He had to preach to them. He laid his hands on them. And they received the Holy Spirit. If you look at Acts chapter 19, verse 20, just in the space of 2 years, Paul and 12 men, they changed an entire city. That is the power of one man's encounter. The 12 apostles that were in the upper room, a Peter that at a small threat ran away when a young girl threatened him and said, you were one of the disciples. He said, no. He began to curse himself. Just because he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, he stood up in front of men and he preached. And in one day, how many men? 3,000 souls were added to the church. That is the power of an encounter. And this same church, you know, if you look at, like we said, Acts chapter 19, verse 20, thank you, says, and so the word of God grew mightily. Not just growing mightily. What was the conclusion? Prevailed. That is the power of God himself. I am yet to see the life that is beyond God's grace. If a Saul, a murderer, could become Paul that you and I know as evangelists and the writer of the New Testament, there's no life so far gone that he or she is beyond the grace of God. But then there is this small challenge. As I wrote it here, the acknowledgement and surrender. If I never come to the point where I know I need help, how does God help me? I don't know whether that makes sense to you. If I never come to a point where I tell God, Father, I need you. Like the song we sang earlier, I need thee every hour. If I never come to that point, how does God help me? Revelation 3 was written to a church, not to unbelievers. Remember what the Bible says in Revelation 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He wasn't speaking to unbelievers. He was speaking to a church. A church that locked his owner outside and he had to be knocking on the door. So that passage is not for unbelievers. It's for believers. It was for a church. He stands at the door and he's knocking. He only comes in when you open the door to him. And so the Ephesian church, that was the foundation of that church. You know, for the church. Imagine after how many years, eventually, Paul had course to now write the book of Ephesians to that same church. And that is where the topic, the encounter, is taken from. Now, his prayer is very interesting. Like I said, it's the entire chapter, but because of time, we may not be able to look at the entire chapter. But I want to focus on verses 17, 18, and 19. I would like to read it in the Amplified Version, if that's possible, please. The Amplified Version of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, 18, and 19. And it starts by saying, I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation, in bracket, that gives you a deep and personal and intimate insight. Those words are critical. Deep, personal, and intimate. My encounter is my encounter. I can share my story with you. It can help you. But you can't go to heaven on my behalf. I don't know whether it makes sense to you. You can't, and I also will not go to hell on your behalf by God's grace. Each man and woman would have to sort out his or her own encounter with God himself or herself. That is why it is personal. That is why it is personal. Thank you for that deep, intimate, and personal knowledge of him, into the true knowledge of him. And verse 18 says, and I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, which is flooded with the light of the Holy Spirit, so that you may know and cherish the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power that is in us who believe. Look at the way the power is defined. Immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing. That is the power that is available to you and I. But then, like I said, the kicker is this. Have you acknowledged him as your Lord and Savior? Does he own your life? Isaiah's story is very interesting. I'm not sure if the chapters follow exactly as they happened. But the Bible says that Isaiah used to minister, yes, during the reigns of kings Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Which means that when Uzziah became king, Isaiah was already speaking. But the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1 that it was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah saw that vision. The question was, all the years before then, what was he looking at? He was speaking as God's oracle. He was on assignment for God. But he never saw God's glory until the year that King Uzziah died. And that, I'm sure, changed his life. Have you ever thought about it? What could have made a man like Stephen be stoned to death? No negative word. He was still praying for those that were stoning him. What do you think he was thinking at the time? The Bible says even Daniel, the three Hebrew boys, they saw death. It wasn't as if they were promised death. They could see it in front of them. The king told them, make a choice. You either bow now and leave, or you do not bow down and you are cast into fire. They told the king, with all due respect to the king, we will not bow down. If God decides not to save us, it's fine. How many of us here, with our lovely wives and husbands and children beside us, can ever say to God, Father, even if you kill me, I will yet live for you? It's easy to say, because it's the Bible, until you are faced with that decision. But as we said, the foundation of that conviction is an encounter with God. A man that can face death and say, even if it comes, it is the foundation of it is that encounter. When a man has encountered that power, nothing else matters to you. It doesn't matter what the world is saying or trying to convince you about. Because you have come to a conviction and a personal knowledge of that power, nothing else makes sense. The disciples themselves, they were ordinary men. The Bible talks about some of them, if you look at their job description, maybe only, if Luke was not mentioned about the 12, he was a doctor. All the others were all uneducated. They didn't go to, there was no formal education, nothing. Peter was a fisherman. There was one of them, an activist, Simon the Zealot. He was an activist, like the usual Ghanaian enemy of blessed memory. But yet, the moment they found Christ, they were able to change the entire world. So, the summary, basically for me, is this. Until Christ comes in, there's almost no foundation on which my life can impact. Let it not be that all I live for is the applause of men. There's something let me just hope I can just read it out. Basically, the way I wrote it here. Now, for all that God has done, let me just give me a minute. Okay. So there is a God that will outlive and outlast all that we see here. And that tells me that my focus mustn't be on the temporal, but on the eternal. Everything you have today, even if you like, inscribe your name on it. You know what we do? Okay, in Nigeria, we used to have this very sharp thing. We'll go and meet somebody, help us inscribe the number of our cars on the glass so that in case it gets stolen, at least we'll know that this was where it was stolen from. We did that a lot in Nigeria. Even if you like, inscribe your name on a property. The day the owner of the life comes, you don't go with it. There's nothing you have now that would outlive you, except that which you do with Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so, the focus for me today is that prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. That I pray that your eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. When light comes, you begin to understand the importance of everything that you pursue. First, I think 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says it very clearly, that when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For as long as a man has not turned to the Lord, it doesn't matter what his degrees look like. It doesn't matter the size of your house. It doesn't matter how big the cars are. It doesn't matter how large your family is. Until a man turns to the Lord, the veil remains in place. And for as long as that veil remains in place, there's very little use that God can make of that life. Sorry, apologies for the choir. If I keep mentioning your name, I'm sorry. You know that every Sunday, there's no way a service can be complete without the choir singing. The big question for me is, have you met God for yourself? Is it all about the vocals? Or is it about the life that has met with God? Do you only do the songs, but you're not involved in prayer meeting, you're not involved in Bible study, you're not involved in your personal devotion, you have no time for God on your own personal level, but you can come and you can sing. Sunday school teachers too, it runs across our entire ministry. Are we all about recognition and applause, or about a life that knows God for himself or herself? May God in his mercy, you know, help us. And the person we're talking about, of course, I know you know, by now, you know, is God himself. God is that encounter himself. He's not a feeling. He's not an emotion. He is a person. A message can excite you. And you can lift up the chair and shout, "Ooh, ooh, ooh, yeah, it's fine." But when you have stepped out, what are you stepping out with? Am I living for applause? Or am I living for God's glory? Now, God wants to meet me at my level. It doesn't matter how bad the past has looks like. Wherever it is that you are right now, God wants to meet you there. Too many times we probably think that there must be a special way. That it's a simple prayer. God is as accessible as a simple prayer. "Lord, I need you." That is all that God needs from you and I. If you have time to spend 1 hour, it's fine. But a simple "God, I need you" is enough for God. Like I always will say, until I had my own children, I never understood a father's love for a child. For those of us who, by God's grace, we've had one, honestly speaking, you almost don't want anything to touch them. If you will keep them with you forever, I'm sure some of us will do that. But fortunately, they have to grow up and move out. If I am imperfect, imagine the definition of love himself. If in my own limited way, I can love my children the way I do, imagine the person who is called love himself. How much he would love you and I. And he's the one that is calling. He's the one that is asking us to come. I love the passage that was read during this is concluding, during the workers' training, 2 Peter chapter 1. There is a calling and an election for all of us. There is no life here that is a waste. God is too awesome a God to create a life that has no purpose. Even triplets of the same egg, they have different fingerprints. That tells you that God is so wonderfully unique that he can make a specific plan for you. He doesn't have to replace, he doesn't have to replicate you, he doesn't need to. You are sufficient in yourself. But then the question is, as he opens his arms to you, what is your response? God doesn't force himself on anybody. You have to come to him of your free will. The power of choice was the topic for Sunday school this morning. He doesn't force himself on anybody. He will give you all that you need for life and godliness. But then there's a demand. There's an expected response. Saying amen is not enough, as we always will say. If you like, shout amen from now till tomorrow. Until you take the steps, you don't get the results. God's arms are open wide to receive you and I. He is a God of amazing love. I don't want to say this online, but I'll just... When you say something is excess love, the question would be, have you even known the right measure for you to know when it becomes excess? Because God's love is immeasurable. So at what point does it become excess? His love is so amazing that you can never know the end of it. But please note, grace has an expiry date. At some point in time, very soon, when the owner of life returns, grace comes to an end. And so while you and I have the time and the opportunity, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Please don't make an assumption that you are saved. Don't make an assumption that because you spend your life in church, that you must be a Christian. I'm sorry, that's not how a Christian is defined. Acts chapter 4 verse 13 says something very interesting that I always love. When the Bible says, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the Bible says, and they took note that they were ordinary, unlearned men, but there was something about them. They took note of them, that these men had been with Jesus. That experience was what made the difference. They were unlearned, yes, illiterate, yes, but you could never doubt the fruit of their lives that flowed out of that encounter with Jesus. And as we conclude, God gives gifts to all of us so that we can use them for the good of the church. So if you have not yet found your place yet, it is not too late. Please, don't be content with just taking up space. Very soon, the ushers will go around and they will take the number of people that came, the men, the women, and the children. Please, don't just be a number. Being a number is not enough. Find a place to serve. At the end of the day, the Bible talks about reward for faithful. Is it for faithful attendance or faithful service? What does the Bible say about reward? Is it for faithful attendance or faithful service? Well, you must still attend to serve, but I believe very strongly that what counts is your service. But please, like Matthew chapter 7 will say, not all that say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but they that do the will, is not who think about it, who feel it, or who love it, but they that do the will of my Father in heaven. So I must not be content hearing only about him from other people. I must seek to know God for myself. I love the testimonies of other people's encounters, but I want my own. And I must go deep so that I can access the riches of the knowledge of God. A whole lifetime on earth is not enough to know all about God. So I have to keep walking with him as he reveals more and more of himself to me until I go and get the balance of that knowledge when I get to heaven. Jesus is the key to that knowledge. And so I must surrender my life to him and ask him to lead me every day so that I can know God for who he is. That is the definition of a life that lives for the impact that God has created it to be. Can we bow our heads even as we pray? Now, I think the one conclusion that you can draw is the importance of salvation to this whole experience. As we have said, please don't make an assumption that you are saved. Please be sure. The only thing that qualifies you to get to heaven, to reign with the Master, with Jesus, is salvation. It's not church membership alone. It is salvation. I'd like to say this. If peradventure you've spent your life in church, you're used to church, but you have never for once taken that conscious decision to give your life to Jesus, today is an opportunity. And if you'd like to do that, please, I would ask you to please just raise your hand before the Lord with all eyes closed and all heads bowed. And just pray this prayer. Father God, I know I am a sinner. And I also know that you died on the cross of Calvary for me. And by faith, I come to you and I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask, Father God, that you will wash me clean with your blood and give me a new life. That new heart that you have promised for those that come, I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. And I also receive your Holy Spirit that would help me to walk with you every day of my life. Thank you for answered prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. And for those of us who are sure by the grace of God of our salvation, let's just commit our lives again anew and afresh to God. There's no end to hearing God's word because it is the basis of faith in Christ. Until I get to glory, I can never get enough of God's word. And so another opportunity has come for me to hear and to respond. Lord, whatever it is that you need to do in me, Lord, I surrender my life again to you. Father, please do in my life in the name of Jesus. Let my life be the place where your spirit can live in. Come and do the work that only you can do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. We just commit our lives again anew and afresh to you. And we ask, Father God, that you will do your work in us. Let every day that you give us be an opportunity to have an encounter with your power and your mercy in the name of Jesus. May we not be content with just, you know, sitting down and folding our arms and watching. May we not put our trust in the ephemeral things of life. But Lord, give us grace that we may know you and know you indeed. Like Paul himself will pray, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, so that somehow I may attain unto the resurrection of the righteous. Lord, give us that grace and help us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. Blessed be your name, O God, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were ministered to through this message. If you have any comments on this presentation or would like to contact us, our address is 38 to 40 Parsons Meet, West Croydon, CR03SL. To speak to a member of our team, you can call us on 0208 688 466. Our website address is www.croydontabernacle.org.uk. Thank you and God bless.